Before everyone gets upset with me for being so late, I want to tell you, because when you're late, you should always have a good excuse. But this time, I have a really good excuse, because I was just talking with Sachin Andamaraj on the phone. And he told me some things, very important things. And of course, he said, I shouldn't tell any of you. So I won't. But just look where we are. Just look where we are. And how fortunate we are. Soon, the mosquitoes shall come out. So we won't stay here for more than till 5:30 at most. Now it's just, well, let's see when they come out. But this, we couldn't resist being here now at this time, so that we would all have a very special darshan of Sriji Mandir with the sun setting. Should I tell you one of the things that Sachin Andamaraj told me? He said, if you are late, you will be setting a very bad example from the very beginning. But I will speak about his message in a little bit. But first, I would like to apologize for being late. But today was the most chaotic entrance into a retreat that I have ever been on. Everything just went upside down. And as I was understanding that everything was going upside down and nothing was going the way I wanted it to go and nothing was going the way exactly the way I planned, I had to accept one of the principles that I would like to explain to you, and it may come in the second part of the of what we'll speak about, on how to make our retreat successful. And that principle is, whatever happens in this very holy place, please know that there are no accidents and nothing happens by chance. There is only mercy. But how we take that mercy depends on our consciousness. And we will speak about this later, perhaps when we're downstairs. So knowing that I had to speak about this point made me have to understand it also to some degree, that there was some mercy in what was going on. So please keep that in mind, that whatever happens to us in this wonderful, most holy places is the mercy of Srimati Radharani. We are in her kingdom. And I would like to, on behalf of the retreat and the retreat organizers, welcome everyone to the kingdom of Srimati Radharani, the kingdom of Sriji. This is actually extraordinary, because it's not possible, as we know, to purchase a ticket to get here. It only occurs by mercy. And there is so much mercy available here. One could say that there's unlimited mercy available here. And therefore, in my welcome, I wanted to say welcome to the kingdom of Srimati Radharani, Varshana. But also I wanted to say welcome to the kingdom of hope. Because very wonderful things can happen here. We can be touched to the core of our hearts here. Deep changes that we always had hoped for can actually happen here. Please know this. And please know that the way that the devotees who are organizing this retreat, Prashanta Mahabhagavat and Adi Purusha, and who else? Prashanta also had a rough morning. No, She's ecstatic. But all the devotees who are organizing this, what we see our services, Narayani Mataji as a speaker, and the organizers and myself and Jagatwini Mataji will speak some, it is simply to speak and organize in such a way that we will do our best to help you, assist you, take advantage of the mercy that is available here. And especially this mercy is available if you seriously chant the holy names here. And therefore, this is a perfect place, a perfect time for our japa retreat. Mercy is powerfully, especially available. It's available everywhere. But it's especially available if we chant Krishna's holy names, the Hare Krishna names. Please know this. Please know this. Now, this japa retreat is like a journey in some ways. I think of it like a boat voyage. You get on a cruise, a boat, and the boat, everyone gets on and the people wave to you, and you get on the boat, and then your distance from the people who are on the shore increases. And all the people who you are on the boat with are the people that you are with. You get on together, and then you do things together, you go places and return together, and ultimately you end your voyage together. So in many ways, this is a group journey. We take this together. But yet, it is also an individual, very, very individual journey. And we will all have our individual experiences here. Very individual experiences. And the particular experiences we have will depend upon partially our consciousness and partially, mostly, really, on the mercy of Srimati Radharani. How she decides she wishes to teach us and bring us closer to him, her. Satchinanda Maharaj, one of the things he mentioned again on when we just spoke, he said in the kingdom of Srimati Radharani, the mercy is different than the mercy in Vrindavan, in the other parts of Vrindavan, because it's very motherly here. And motherly affection is unconditional. It is not at all dependent upon the person. The nature of motherly love is it just loves. So we are here to take shelter of Srimati Radharani, of course the holy names, and of course our spiritual master, and of course Srila Prabhupada. But depending upon how she decides to what form the mercy comes in, that's up to her. That is not our part. Our part is to be very receptive to it. Because the mercy in Vrindavan, and of course in Vrindavan, the dealings are very indirect, and sometimes there are just hints. And our business is to have very, very subtle consciousness and try to understand how we should deal with the mercy that we've been given us. Even if that mercy comes in the form of chastisement, even if some test comes, as I found myself tested when I came and saw myself failing and failing and failing again and again and again. But no matter what form the test comes in, we should just try our very best to take advantage of it and see that there's mercy in it. And even the chastisements, from what I've seen, that come to us as mercy, because this is such a sweet and soft place, because it is the place of Srimati Radharani, even those tend to be very soft. Even the chastisements tend to be soft. So, I would like to offer some advice, preliminary advice for this journey. Not there, but here. To make best use of your time here. And again, no one is here by accident. No one is here by chance. We all may have our different thoughts of why we've come, but it is just mercy that we're here. So the first principle that I would like to suggest to make best use of your time here is desire deeply. Desire a deep transformation. Make your desire strong. And that also, Satchinanda Maharaj, he wanted to give two pieces of advice specifically. And one was, when we just spoke, one was focus. Make a very strong focus. And that's very much what I want to say here. Desire strongly. Focus. And the second principle he wanted to say was give your desire a lot of energy. And that also comes with what I wanted to say. Desire a deep transformation. Be as specific as you can. Be focused. And put energy into it. It's a short retreat, 6 days. Put energy into it. So that first principle was desire. The second was hope. Yes, hope for the mercy of Srimati Radharani. This is her kingdom. And when I visited Satchinanda Maharaj just a week and a half ago, or 2 weeks ago perhaps, when he was staying in Mangar, that's how he greeted me. Welcome to the kingdom of Srimati Radharani. So, desire and hope. And the third principle is look for her mercy. Look for mercy. It will come. Look for hints of Krishna's mercy and this principle I mentioned before. Nothing is accidental or by chance here. Accept that as a principle of your stay. There are no accidents. Nothing by chance. There's only mercy. Fourth principle. Be as sober, deep, and prayerful as you can. In other words, be serious during this time. Keep focused. Fifth principle. Chant Hare Krishna as much as you can. Chant and chant and chant and chant. Kirtaniya Sadahari. And one final principle, a sixth principle, is if Krishna somehow offers you an opportunity to serve the devotees, please take it. Be in a humble serving mood. And if you can do it invisibly, very good. Be in a humble serving mood, serve the devotees. Now, I would like to give, moving towards the practical, those points were practical, but on a little bit of a higher level or more abstract level, I would like to give some advice on a different level. And the first one It is a little funny that I have to say this first, but follow the programs, the schedule, as strictly as possible, and be on time. Please be on time. And I would like to tell you what the schedule is. Is it written out? Prasanta Mataji? It's posted downstairs. But just to give you an idea in a very simple way, tonight we'll have our welcoming program, and then tomorrow class, Mangal Arti is late. It's really Guru Puja, and then some kirtan from 7 to 7:30, and that will continue for the rest of the week. Our time here from 7:30 to 8:30 class. Tomorrow Narayani Mataji will give class on begging the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. This is where we begin. Then the next day, then later in the day, right after that, we go to Velaskar. I won't go through it in detail. Excuse me, we go to Vrinda Kund, and we will beg, keep on practicing begging, and beg the mercy of Vrinda Devi to make our journey as successful as we are able. Then the next day, Velaskar, the schedule is written downstairs exactly. Velaskar is that hill over there. It's the hill of Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, a very special place. It is not in this world. We'll be chanting there. And then for the next 2 days, it'll be Ter Kadamba. The evening program begins at 7:15, 15 minutes before 7, and then ends as close to 8 as we are able. Now, during the time when we're chanting at Velaskar, at Ter Kadamba, then both Narayani Mataji and myself will, at certain times, will sit under our trees, in the words of Maharaj, Satyananda Maharaj, we will open shop, and then devotees can come over as they like and speak to us, ask any questions that they want. Then, another principle will be mauna, or keeping quiet. And especially in the mornings, before the opening, before our Guru Puja at 7 o'clock, we'll ask everyone to be as quiet as possible. Because we don't want to get the mind active early. We want to get the mind as far as possible focused on chanting and hearing Krishna's holy names. So we're recommending that everyone keep mona, or keep as quiet as possible. Just keep minimize the talking that we do until 7 o'clock. But especially on the final day, which we will try to chant 64 rounds on that day, please on that day especially, we'll keep silence until 7 o'clock, until the Guru Puja begins. Especially on that day. And each day, and especially on that day, and we'll be speaking about this regularly, please try to chant 16 rounds before 7 o'clock. Please try your best. And then on the day, the second day that we go to Ter Kadamba, not tomorrow, and not the next day, and not the next day, the first day we go to Ter Kadamba, but the day after that, will be a day that we will try our best to chant 64 rounds. Now, we want to put a little pressure to try to chant 64 rounds. Some devotees are not used to chanting a large number of rounds like that, but we try. But we don't want to put a lot of pressure on, because we don't want anyone to be in any anxiety about it. But a little bit of pressure, and practically our pressure will be that we'll call it a 64 rounds day. Try your best. And for the morning class on that day, Narayani Mataji will speak about the history of 64 rounds, chanting 64 rounds in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. And we hope everyone will try, but no anxiety. There will be no 64-round policemen going around inquiring for everyone and their friends if they've actually chanted 64 rounds. Please, no anxiety. The slightest bit of pressure, try your best. Now, for this retreat, Satchinanda Maharaj wrote a little letter to read to everyone, but in the chaos, it escaped from my bag. Unless it went into the other bag. No, it's not here. So we'll read that tomorrow instead. But I told him on the phone that when he said he would, in the letter he says he will be here in spirit, even though he cannot be here physically at this point. So I told him that he is our guardian angel. So he'll be here in spirit because he really wanted so much to be here with all the devotees. So he's officially our guardian angel. So that's all I wanted to say, except for I wanted to read the letter, and I didn't. But tomorrow we shall do that. Now, are there any questions or points? Because it's getting either that, or you could speak now. Or are there any questions about anything that I spoke about in our welcome? Okay. How? Raise your hand if mosquitoes are bothering you so far. Okay. Dharani Mataji, would you be able to speak then? Thank you very much. Kukam karati vachalam tangam nange tigrim yakipam tanam vande shikurum tinatalam. Om Gyana Kinandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshira Militam Yena Tasamai Shri Guru Namaha Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnishuddha Nityamukta Vinatta Namanamina. We've heard about the Chintamani stone in Goloka Vrindavan. This stone can transform other metals into very precious gems and gold and so many things. So we have a Chintamani gem with us here today. It's the Nama Chintamani stone. It's the Chintamani of the Holy Name. This Chintamani stone has the ability to transform our hearts. And it can reveal to us our relationship with Krishna. If we can actually chant nicely and attentively. Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Krishna is Rasa Rashi Krishna. He is the reservoir of all pleasure and the reservoir of all relationships. So we each have a unique relationship with Krishna. And that will be revealed to us by the Holy Name. Krishna is unlimited. He has unlimited relationships. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma spoke a little bit about that. He had offended Lord Krishna by stealing away his coward boyfriends and calves. So then he offered beautiful prayers of forgiveness. Please forgive me. One of those prayers, he was glorifying Lord Krishna. And he said, in time, learned philosophers and scientists may be able to count the atoms of the earth. They may be able to count the snowflakes in the sky. Or they may be able to count the shining molecules of sunshine. But they can never count the qualities of Krishna. And Sanatana Goswami commented on that verse. He said that the Lord manifests a specific quality for each and every living entity to attract him to himself, to Krishna. For each and every one of us, Krishna will show us a special quality that we'll be attracted to. And not only that, each of us has a unique quality that Krishna is attracted to. We each have a unique individual relationship with Krishna. So when we chant the holy name, this relationship is revealed. What is attractive for us about Krishna? And what is attractive about us to Krishna?
This happens when we chant the holy name. So in my life, I had the holy name had many, many different relationships with me, or I had many relationships with the holy name. Before I was a devotee, I was a musician. So I was trained up to hear very carefully the sound. So when I became a devotee, when I heard the sound of Hare Krishna, I thought, this is the perfect sound. I've never heard a sound like this. This is not of this world. I heard sounds from previous ages of composers, many dead composers, but this sound I've never heard before. So that was my first relationship. How I was attracted to Krishna was through the sound of the holy name. Then after I moved into the temple, chanting the holy name became my occupation. From 10 in the morning until 12 at night, I was out on Harinam Sankirtan. And before that, I was chanting japa. So it was, my occupation was chanting the holy name. And so it was somehow or other, I got attracted to the holy name. But then my service changed, and I became a pujari in Calcutta. I had 20 hours of service. So then I couldn't chant during japa time. I had to do puja. So the holy name became my duty. Somehow or other, finish your rounds, because you have so much other service to do, so you have to chant sometime. And I had a godbrother named Bhakta Das, and he also had 20-hour service, but it wasn't deity service. I had time to chant, because I had deity watch. I could chant in front of the deities, besides doing all the artis and everything, but there was time in between to chant. But Bhakta Das was doing construction work, so he couldn't chant his 16 rounds. He went to Srila Prabhupada, and he asked Srila Prabhupada, what should I do? What do you think Prabhupada said to him? Yes?
Sleep less.
Right. Don't sleep. He said sleep less. So Bhakta Das took it to heart. He only slept 2 hours a day. And he chanted his rounds inside the shower with it running so he wouldn't fall asleep. But then, one time, Prabhupada came to his temple and they had an engagement. They went out on an engagement at a life member's house. Srila Prabhupada noticed he was very tired, Bhakta Das, and he said, you go take rest. So after the prasad, he heard a sound, Bhakta Das, in the room, the bed next to him. Prabhupada was coming to take rest next to him. So he got up, offered his obeisances, and Prabhupada said, no, you stay. So 3 inches away from him, Srila Prabhupada was resting next to Bhakta Das. So that was the reciprocation he got from sacrificing his sleep for Srila Prabhupada to chant his realms. And so it became a duty. And then I realized also that the chanting, the holy name, was like medicine for me. You take your medicine, and of course it might not taste so sweet at the beginning, but gradually you chant and chant, and it becomes very sweet. And my medicine. And also, the holy name was my protector. I was in a very serious car accident when I was a new devotee, and our car was out of control. It was going between the two lanes of the highway, and all we could do was chant Hare Krishna at the top of our lungs. And we flew over a sharp drop. It was like a creek with concrete sides on both sides. The car flew over it, and we landed in a ditch, and we were okay. Chanted the holy name. I didn't get a scratch because I had a big tulsi pot on my lap. And the tulsi was finished, but I walked out of the car. But the holy name is my protector. That's only one example. So many examples in my life where I was protected like that in very serious conditions. And the holy name is my companion too. Like in the airport when you don't know what to do, you just sit and chant and Krishna is with you. And especially on takeoff and landing, it equalizes the pressure, I noticed. So it's very good for airplanes and airports. And anytime you have, like in India, you wait in line a lot. And so it's good, you're going on the train. It's your companion. And it's your purifier. The holy name is a purifier. Sometime in your life, you come up to an artanavirti, where it's like a struggle. And sometimes you're chanting and all these material desires start to come up in your mind and you think, what's going on? One devotee even asked, since I started chanting, then it seems like I have more material desires than I did before. But no, it's just like if you have a dirty house and the dirt's lying on the ground and you don't notice it, but when you start cleaning, the dust flies. So when we chant Hare Krishna, it's Chaita Darpana Marjana, it's cleaning the heart, and the material desires may start to fly. And so we have to not pay attention to them. So in Artana Vritti, sometimes you come to a crossroads where you have a choice. You can go up or you can go down. So chanting may bring you to that platform, may bring you to that choice, that you have a very serious choice in your life. I have something here from Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He speaks about that. I'd like to read to you. He said that each of us has our own battle of Kurukshetra that we have to deal with. So many of us have been pioneers. Pioneers naturally make sacrifices for future generations, but ultimately they establish the foundation. The special mercy is that all we did is in our spiritual bank accounts. I have personally noticed that many devotees build up their spiritual investments, and when it is almost time for them to benefit from their credits, to receive empowerment, to accelerate by leaps and bounds in their consciousness, Maya finds a way to trick them so they become unaware, unable to benefit from what is available at the right time. These kind of tests bring a person to tremendous crossroads. At a crossroad, we can take the path of success, more profound, selfless devotion, offering oneself more intensely than ever before to Guru and to Krishna. Or we can choose the path of selfishness with all kinds of subtle attachments that will lead to downfall. So this happens sometimes in our life. And I'd like to just read one more thing from Malati Mataji. She talks a little bit about this. What happens when you get to the bottom of your rope, when you feel hopeless and helpless, and you don't know what to do? So she turns to Srila Prabhupada. In every instance, just when everything seems about to fall into total despair and disintegration, your divine grace emerges from the depths of our hearts to remind us of our ultimate gain and glory, and to renew our desire to continue our search for perfection in the form of the holy name. To fight the battle against Maya with arrows of loving truth and knowledge. And to look for a three-curved blue boy with a flute in his hand and a peacock feather on his curly-haired head. So when we come to our crossroads, we can take shelter of the holy name. And the holy name will lift us up. I have that experience many times. But we do come to a point in our life where the center shifts. Like, for a lot of us, we're the center and the holy name is a part of it. But there comes a point when the holy name becomes the center and we're like the servant of the holy name. So that shift comes. And then we surrender. Six symptoms of surrender. Do everything favorable for chanting. Go to a quiet, secluded place away from the internet or the cell phone. And have good association. Avoid bad places to chant. And we see the holy name as our maintainer, our protector. We have no other desire than to serve the holy name. And we develop real humility. So in my life, I had many challenges. One challenge was that I was asked to speak Srimad Bhagavatam and teach Bhakti Vaibhav, Bhakti Vedanta. So sometimes I wouldn't have an answer to a question, a very serious philosophical question. And I couldn't really associate with the sannyasis. It was not easy. And so what to do? So what I would do, I would chant the holy name. Sometimes I would chant in front of the deities in the temple, or sometimes in front of my deities. And the answer would come. And it was not something I could ever think of. It was something that was the answer from the holy name. And then 4 years ago, I understood how the holy name is my best friend. I had a near-death experience, and they gave me an overdose of anesthesia for just a routine checkup. I should have walked out in half an hour, but instead I was struggling for my life. And so the anesthesia, in one sense, it worked, because I was not conscious of my surroundings, but I was conscious. I was completely conscious, but everything was black, and I had lost my identity. I had no idea of self or who I was or anything, but I was conscious. And in the blackness, I saw the Holy Name. It came, multicolored and dancing, like a screensaver kind of, it looked like, going across my screen. I didn't know what it was, because I had no ego or anything, but out of habit, I started chanting. Because I had taught 7 Japa workshops before that, so then I guess the Holy Name thought of me. And so I started chanting. When I started chanting in that near-death time, I remembered who I was. I'm a devotee of Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, and I'm so-and-so. But I looked around and I didn't see my body. I said, and I left my body. But how come I'm not in Goloka? How come I'm in the void? Oh my God, what am I doing here? Where's Krishna and where's all the devotees and where's Prabhupada? At least the Holy Name was there, so that was some, that was it. But I was kind of very frustrated that I wasn't in Goloka Vrindavan. And of course it was the jug acting. But what I learned from that was that if you make friends with Krishna, the form of the Holy Name, he'll be there when you need him the most. And not only that, you may forget everything. And Krishna, like, I have a really good memory, but in that place, I had lost everything, not even knowing who I was. You may forget everything, but Krishna won't forget you. If you have a deep relationship with the Holy Name, he won't forget you. So I'd just like to read one more thing for you that I wrote. It was 14 years ago, 1994. And I was in Vrindavan. I had just come to Vrindavan. And I had no friends. And I was alone. And I was wondering what my service was. And in that state, I took shelter of the Holy Name. And I was chanting Hare Krishna. And I was practicing one technique, which I think you'll be teaching the one mantra at a time. You're going to teach that this time? Or? Yeah. So I was, Vrijan will tell you all about it. I think on Wednesday, day after tomorrow, fundamental principles, he'll teach you. So this is what I did. I was trying to concentrate on one mantra at a time. So by doing that simple practice, I started to change. I was not chanting as duty or mechanical chanting anymore. But I was chanting to my friend, to Krishna. And during that transformation, I wrote down whatever was what changes were going. I was going through while I was chanting. So I'd like to read to you one poem that I wrote, which was my first thing I wrote when I was starting to change my heart. It's called Krishna, Are You There? Where are you, Krishna? Are you a person who actually loves me? I'm afraid to look inside myself. Maybe there's nothing there, only emptiness and aloneness. But when I chant your name, then you are here with me. I ask you, what do you want of me? You say, Manmana, give me your mind. Bhava Madbhakto, become my devotee. Madhyaji, give me your worship. Mam Namaskaru, give me your obeisances. Mamekam Sharanam Vraja, give me your full surrender. You tell me, I want you. Why don't you accept me? Why don't you accept my love? But I'm so unfortunate. I've built so many walls between us. Sometimes I feel so proud. Sometimes I feel so unworthy. I feel that no one, not even Krishna, loves me. I'm a child, lost in the darkness, crying, Krishna, please, pick me up. I'm afraid to give myself to Krishna because I'll lose something. I'm afraid. My heart's on fire, and your merciful words, Srila Prabhupada, are extinguishing that fire. I feel like breaking those walls and running after Krishna as passionately as I pursue material things. But Krishna is faster than my mind. I try to give myself to Krishna, to leave myself open to his love. And my heart begins to melt, but I cannot let go, because then I feel too vulnerable and open. How can I face the world like this? Sometimes I wonder, is this chanting making me sentimental, or sahajya, or just plain crazy? I want to please you, Srila Prabhupada, to bring others to you. How do I know if I'm on the right path? Bhakti parishanu bhavo viraktir anyatra cha. Is my love for this body decreasing and my love for Krishna increasing? This chanting is my heartbeat. If I stop chanting, I will die. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Narayani Mataji, for speaking about her relationship with the holy names of Krishna, and also about the holy names of Krishna's relationship with her. Abhinatvam namanamana. That Krishna the name and Krishna the person are the same. None different. So now is a good time to go down to our temple room, and when we're there, then I'll also speak something about the holy names. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Harinam Prabhu ki jai, Nithai Gaur Premanande, Yare Yare Vah.